Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk IVF. Our aim is to cut through the overwhelming amount of clinical information and give you a clearer understanding about the science, the emotional impact, and everything in between. Hosted by Sophia Beziotto, a scientist with 25 years of experience in the field of fertility, we want to thank you for listening. Now, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk IVF Episode 7. My name is Sophia Beziotto and I'm so excited that you've decided to join me for this podcast, Changes in IVF, How Far We Have Come. This week I did something for the first time and went to a new venue to listen to some jazz music and have dumplings. A rather unique combination, I thought. For $30 you can have live jazz music to listen to whilst you are served a never-ending supply of dumplings in a chic New York City style bar with a great design and layout. The tables are well spaced and the atmosphere was brilliant. We thoroughly enjoyed the experience. Live music is not a dining experience we have ordinarily, so one that I would recommend. Thank you to Sydney Social in Bondi Junction for an incredible night out. Let's jump back to the episode and talk about changes in IVF, how far we have come. Recently, we saw the worldwide celebration of the birthday of Louise Brown, the first ever IVF baby born on the 25th of July, 1978. Originally called test tube babies, as the eggs when collected were placed in small test tubes with liquid media, and then the sperm was later added to these tubes. From test tubes, we went to using petri dishes, and then from petri dishes, to culturing embryos in droplets of liquid media under an oil overlay. Incubators that were used to house embryos and keep them warm have gone from huge units the size of fridge freezers to small desktop units with individual gas chambers and now having video cameras to record embryo development, which can then be sent to mobile apps. Embryo transfers are performed via ultrasound guides with special tipped catheters to view the actual deposit of embryos into the uterine cavity. Originally, embryos were transferred on day 2 and 3. After the development of specialized medias, the extended culture to day 5 and day 6 blastocysts became the normal time to transfer. Embryos are photographed not only during their development over the course of 5 days, they are pictured just prior to transfer, giving a very unique start to those baby photo albums and scrapbooks. When I first started in IVF over 20 years ago, we offered the gift procedure, gamete intrafallopian transfer, which has now been relinquished to the history books. For these transfers, the eggs were collected in theatre, the sperm was prepared, and then both the eggs and sperm were loaded into a very long catheter and deposited directly into the fallopian tubes whilst the patient was still sedated. The most mature oocytes were assessed quickly during the oocyte pickup to determine the best two which would be transferred and returned back to the tubes. The Kremer test is one that I am thankful not to have prepared for many years. This test looked at the mucus during mid-cycle and tested the receptive nature to sperm. Mucus was loaded into flat pipettes, which would then be placed in a well containing the sperm sample. Sperm would be checked at time intervals to see how far it had travelled up the pipette. Technology has changed and so have the options available to couples. Previously, we saw only donor sperm on the list of options, with many donors opting to donate to heterosexual couples and not single and same-sex relationships. Donors had the power of choice. Now we see sperm banks with huge selections and ethnicities available to clients needing this option. Donor oocytes eggs is now commonplace. Known and unknown donors and overseas clinics specializing in shipping these gametes around the world. There are clinics which have been established for medical holidays where you travel to the donor's country at a time schedule. After the donor oocytes have been collected, you have your own sperm sample collected on the day and embryo transfer on day 5. Returning to your home country and awaiting the outcome of pregnancy testing. These overseas donor cycles are cheaper than bringing in donor oocytes from overseas for treatment in Australian clinics and are becoming very popular accordingly as an alternative treatment option. One fascinating development I've read about recently is facial recognition technology for prospective clients wanting to use donor eggs. Wondering if your future child will look like you has never been easier. Use the app, take a selfie, and get matched with donors that will look like you. Normally, you would just get height, hair, and eye colour and the skin tone of the donor as known parameters. Of course, with male factor accounting for 50% of the problems, it is fascinating to see how far this area of andrology has advanced. Previously, if you didn't have the numbers or swimming sperm, you would have to use donor sperm. Now, with the invention of the technique of ICSI, intracytoplasmic sperm injection, giving any male with male factor issues the chance to conceive using his own sperm. Post-vasectomy is not a problem with the development of PISA and TESA procedures. PISA stands for percutaneous epididymal sperm aspiration, and TESA stands for testicular sperm aspiration. These procedures mean the sperm is simply extracted straight from the epididymis or testes, so even the men who decided to have a vasectomy can still have children long after their procedure for contraception years before. Men who have suffered infection or have a congenital absence of the vas deferens, a pathway for ejaculating sperm, are able to achieve fertilization using their own sperm. New technologies and advances in the field mean there are so many more options to clients to undergo treatment and work around many factors that present in their way. Oncology patients, both male and female, can preserve their fertility and have chemotherapy and radiotherapy in the comfort of knowing that they have a plan B for future parenting. The freezing protocols, equipment, and media used have advanced significantly to allow for much better survival rates post-thawing. Pregnancies have been created and ongoing after these therapies, giving comfort to many people faced with cancer treatment. Advances in all areas of the laboratory, clinical regimes, medications for stimulation, blood testing, and urine tests for ovulation and pregnancy have all enhanced the options for would-be parents. Surrogacy brings a whole new realm of possibility to the fertility table. Although the laws surrounding this process vary state to state in Australia and internationally. So generally speaking, where there is a will, there is a way to move forward and become a parent, finances aside, naturally. The biggest factor for many people is not so much what they can do, but when will they stop, as the price can be exceptionally prohibitive. One study looking at the main reasons clients stopped having fertility treatment ranked finance as the number one reason to stop treatment. Even though we are seeing areas of development with bulk billing clinics opening up services for regular cycles, a no-frills option, so if you're requiring just a standard IVF cycle or IUI without the need for extra services, you can attend and have that cycle for as little as $1,500, Australian dollars that is. You do not get to choose the doctor, and if you require anything like PGD embryo testing, donor gametes, or anything else a little more involved, you will not be able to attend these clinics. Still, it is a viable option for some people and worth considering if there is one close to you. In the field of embryology, the new development is artificial intelligence, the new embryologist. AI has been used in a first ever trial by the US company Ovation Fertility and Australian company Life Whisperer to determine the best embryos for transfer. Analyzing embryos is traditionally done by highly skilled embryologists. Images of embryos are taken with a microscope camera and sent to the new AI technology tool to obtain an instant report on the best embryo to transfer. Results showed a 50% improvement in predicted implantation rates. If you have a genetic condition, no problem. You can screen the embryos and only transfer and use the unaffected embryos. Poor sperm sample or post-vasectomy, no sperm, not a problem. Sperm can be removed directly from the testes under local anesthetic, and ICSI will offer fertilization as a possibility without swimming sperm required. Poor responder, low AMH, too old, not a problem. You can use donor oocytes and have the same chance as that younger donor woman to achieve that pregnancy. So many options and ways to achieve pregnancy now after 40 years of IVF treatment. We have indeed come a very long way. Well, that is all from me for this week. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. So until the next time, take care and keep smiling.
Thanks for joining us, and we hope you learned something new today. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at www.ivfcoachingclinic.com.au or our Facebook page, IVF Coaching Clinic, where you can talk to Sophia directly and find out more information about coaching and how it can assist you further. Until next time.